Welcome back to the Possibilities Show. Again, this is Jovan, and I help passionate and self-aware entrepreneurs design their dream life by becoming the best version of themselves. And for human design, I'm 3-6 emo generator, and my co-host, Sharon.
Hello, I'm Sharon, and I help people dive deep into their body to access their root causes and then get the transformation they want in a way that makes them feel safe and supported. And I am a 6-2 emo manifestor.
Sharon, in this episode, I am really super excited because we have been talking a lot about the concepts, the theories of human design. And you know me, right? You know me, I love taking action and I love the practical stuff. And so we are going to be shifting and changing gears a bit. And we are going to explore actual people who have some knowledge and some distinctions about human design and see how people, our listeners, can relate to them as well. That sounds exciting, right?
Mm-hmm. So who do we have today?
Yes, of course, we have someone very, very interesting. And I think this is a great start to have someone who has a bit of knowledge about human design. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not just a bit, maybe even more. And I know she's been practicing. So it'd be interesting to know and understand her experience and, you know, what are kind of like the things that she discovered for herself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to introduce our guest in this episode?
So we're going to welcome Maggie. She's a 2-4 mental projector, and her profession, I'm going to let her describe to everybody. So welcome, right. Maggie.
Let's welcome Maggie. All right.
Hello. So I'm a 2-4 mental projector. I only have my head and Ashna defined. Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
So for mental projectors, they have anything above the throat defined, they are considered as mental projectors. So you can have Ashna and the throat and you are a mental projector also. Or you can have three also, like the head, Ashna and throat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So anything below that is open means you are a mental projector.
Okay, cool. So 2-4 mental projector. I think in one of our episodes, we did talk about mental projectors. Sharon did mention she has experience with her sisters with mental projectors. So I'll start off with the first question. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
So the parrot says yes. Okay. So Maggie, I'm curious, and this general question, what was your life like before human design? And then maybe in continuation, what was it like after?
Okay, so before learning about human design, right, I think my life has been like, I don't know what it's safe to say, nowhere. Yeah, I've been very lost lah. But I find myself trying to fit into any other environments, or like fit into schools, my friends, or people that I don't normally like to hang out with. Yeah, just for the sake of it. So even I think with my family, my sisters also, I don't feel very fit in. I don't really fit in that well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I always didn't know why. So then like before knowing human design or before knowing my chart or anything like that, right? I always feel like, oh, something must be wrong with me, you know? Yeah, something along there. So I always don't feel belong. But after discovering it myself, actually my sisters, they were the one who introduced me into this thing. Actually, I saw my projector sister got into this experiment, then like kind of like got me thinking, oh, maybe I can try this out also. So then I went into this experiment. So okay, learning about my chart, right, or learning about my type, just my type in general, it made me feel very understood. Like, oh wow, I actually belong somewhere in a group. Yeah. So the part about the belonging part, right, it's related to the identity center. Yeah, I realize it's a lot about the identity center. We can talk about it after.
Mm-hmm.
So now after knowing my design and experimenting it for a few years. Sorry. Yeah, finally I belong somewhere. And then I understand, I feel understood that, oh, you know, that's why I always get sick when I try to push myself harder and to get work done for school. Mm-hmm. So during my school days, I'm always falling sick because mm-hmm. I'm always not sleeping, always rushing for my assignment, like pushing myself further than I can, like, harder than I can. Yeah, so yeah, I always fall sick. Oh, that was the period where I was like the weakest. Yeah. Mm. And then now when I look back, I was like, oh, okay, I see it. I see why I was so weak. I see why I don't feel well all the time. Apart from the environment itself, lah. Yeah. It's me trying to push myself harder than I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when I look back, right, I also see ways that, like, I have shown my potential by my design naturally without me knowing. So by default, lah, the term in the profile 2, the line 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a talent line. So I understand things very naturally and I can just execute them myself. So that's by default. Lah. I think that's the description by what I read online or anywhere else.
Mm.
Yeah. So then I realized, oh, actually, yeah, in school, back when I was in school, I can understand things better, like with just by looking at how it's done. Yeah. And just, I cannot describe to people, honestly. Even now, I cannot describe how I know things. But I just know.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 2-4, the part of the fourth line, that is something that I am still exploring now and still experimenting now. Apparently everybody sees it except for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I like the word that you used, experimenting, because I think this is something that we mentioned.
Of course you do. You're a line 3.
No. Besides that, we did mention that human design, what the founder said, Ra, mm-hmm. is to try it out. Like, don't just believe whatever is being said in human design. You really got to try it out for yourself and see if it works and, you know, if it's not for you. Mm. So I like how you were, I use the word experiment. Sharon, do you have a question for Maggie?
I'm curious about, because she's a projector, so like me, she's a non-sacral type.
Mm-hmm.
And for non-sacral, I mean, at least for me, I felt very liberated knowing that, oh, actually, I'm not meant to work 8-to-5 because I simply do not have the energy to sustain that kind of output. So I wonder if Maggie relates to that.
Yeah, I do. I feel liberated after knowing that, like, I cannot sustain. It's not that I don't want to, yeah, it's more like I cannot sustain, like, a generator, and I stop putting myself putting the expectation of that to myself.
Mm.
And I just feel like lighter, lo.
Mm.
I feel like I can fly. Yeah, so as a mental projector, right, I think something that is interesting is that I am still trying to figure out and experimenting is something about the outer authority, mm-hmm. yeah, which is my authority. So when I was researching and reading about the mental projector and how our authority works, right, I always get very confused.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different phase of, like, my realization of the mental projector's authority. So there's this first phase of, like, huh, you mean I have no inner authority at all? But that's not true. So after that, I learned to know that it's not that I do not have inner authority, but to access my inner authority, I have to use my outer authority. Yeah. So for example, for me, it works really well when I'm at a place where I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in my flow, or just sometimes for me, it feels nice for me to have, like, a headphone on with, like, brown noise just to block out, like, the other energy outside. Like, it makes me feel like that, lah. So it could be very different for different people, I believe, for different mental projectors also. So some of my friends, a lot of my mental projector friends actually just do, lah. They like to be in the nature a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's one of them don't really mind being around a lot of people. Yeah, but for me, I prefer to be in a nature alone, or maybe with just one or two people. Yeah.
Mm. Nice, nice. Since you mentioned authority, and I think one of the biggest things that human design gives us, or the gift, right, is the clarity in making decisions in our life moving forward, right? So that includes strategy as well. So for projectors, the strategy is waiting for invitation. And so with knowing your own strategy and authority, how does that help you in making decisions in life?
Actually, waiting itself, right, helped me to, especially I have an outer authority, so I'm not designed to make decisions right away. So the waiting for invitation part also helped me with filtering out what I do not want to receive. So that waiting time, right, it allows me to think about whether this is right for me. But in this case, the waiting for invitation part, right, it's not really about waiting. So a lot of people think that it's a very passive thing, but actually during that waiting part, right, there are work that needs to be done as a projector. So it's not like just you just sit here and I wait for things to come to me. But during that time when you wait, you work on your crafts. Yeah, so naturally it will just come. I mean, for me, it has been like that.
So when you say work on your craft, like getting better at it, like mastering it, is that?
Yeah. Okay, so this is tricky. I have not been able to just master one craft. Like, I'm not really there, or I'm still at a phase where I'm exploring myself. Yeah, so this is the thing that I cannot really touch on, I would say. But so far from my experience, right, it has been just working on whatever I'm focusing on working on. So if I, today I work on this web design, and subsequently the chances of me getting projects for web design will be higher. Somehow, like, it just happened. So I don't know how to describe. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So for projectors, right, there's an importance in being recognized for what you bring to the table. And a lot of people think that it's waiting for external recognition. But before that, actually for projectors, it's very important for you to recognize yourself first.
Yeah.
So could you share like instances where this shows up in your life so that, you know, our listeners can have some kind of story to relate to?
Okay. So I go back to when I was younger, right? When I was recognized as a kid. So when I was very young, everybody sees me as this kid who does art or draw very well. Like who is very artistic. So and I also realized that I excel well in there. So that is like the first few phase of my life that I got the recognition from that I actually don't even know or notice. And subsequently, I think growing up, I also recognized I'm good at it. And therefore, that's why people can recognize me of like someone who is artistic, right? Yes. So after knowing about human design, actually, it got more complicated after knowing about human design, because I think I got into this place where I need to recognize something that is something that I need to know about myself. So actually, it's okay if you compare it with when I was younger, right? It comes very naturally. So after when I know about it, about this information, I find myself looking for it instead of letting it come to me.
Yeah.
So one of the few things that I recognize about myself recently is I'm actually very good with systems, building systems, thinking certain ways in my head. So I always thought that it's normal, like people confirm think this way also. I didn't, it's not something that I don't recognize per se, but it's just I didn't thought of it. I didn't give this gift of mine enough recognition because I thought it's normal. So when I start looking more into it, like why I'm good at it, right? It's still very hard for me to explain to people how I'm good at it. Because maybe something to do with my open throat, I'm not very sure. I'm still trying to work on expressing on what I'm good at, like expressing on recognizing myself to other people so that, you know, showing up.
One thing I noticed about projectors, like, as a very broad general kind of observation, is that very often, especially when your throat is undefined, the showing up comes as a, like in a silent way. It's like you just appear in a place, but because you're quiet, like you're not attention seeking, people actually can notice in that sense, especially when you recognize your gifts. I mean, I don't know whether that is very abstract.
I think, right, for this, I didn't really go think about it.
Okay.
It's okay.
Boop. Hey, Coach Jovan here. Let me interrupt you for a bit for a quick promotion. If you have been enjoying and learning a lot from the episodes about human design, and if you'd like to go deeper into it and get some clarity on how this actually applies in your life and get coaching for that, go ahead and book me at hdcoaching.jovanmedrano.com. Let me repeat that. hdcoaching.jovanmedrano.com. All right, so excited to work with you. Now back to the episode.
Yeah. So what is something that you have been exploring more about?
So previously I mentioned something about systems. I'm good with systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's to do with systems thinking. And I graduated from LaSalle, from art school. So design thinking is something that we also learn in school.
Mm.
Naturally, maybe I'm good at it, but maybe because I practiced it throughout my school years, then I get good at it, right? So I'm not sure whether that's something that I'm good at it naturally, but I would think that right now, the way I see it, something that I recognize of myself is the way I think. I struggle with finding a term on how it's like. So maybe if I can give it one or two term to it, right, would be design system thinking. Yeah. So when I recognize this part, recently how I show it, I realize it through my experience. It's better not to say it, like not to explain it, because I cannot explain it. So how I do it is to build maybe like a Notion template to somebody who needs it.
So demonstrate.
Yeah, something tangible. Because I have struggles, difficulties with expressing already, right? So I thought, okay, you know, why not express it another way? Just like how I used to do it when I was younger. You know, I express through art or through music somehow. Except through my throat with words. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, do you know that, let's say if we have defined throat, right? It's not just about expressing verbally, but action is also an expression.
It's about manifestation. So
yeah, like making something happen.
I'm curious. I want to go back to something you said earlier, is that feeling. So when you discovered about that recognition, you wanted, or you had this feeling that you need to look for what you are good at. Remember? So after learning about human design, practicing, experimenting, what other challenges did you encounter?
Okay. I don't think I can list down all right now.
Just a few, maybe top three. Top three.
I think it's the unlearning part. It's a huge part of the experiment. Yeah. In fact, now I'm still unlearning a lot of things. I believe we all are, lah. And it's about like grabbing myself back, or when I hear my thoughts, or hear my ego, or my sacral ringing, you know, like, are you working? You can still keep going, but then like then I have to, because I think like it's very tough, because as a mental projector, both my head and Ashna are defined, right? So they are always talking. My mind is always talking. So a big part of human design that I learned, right, is do not let your mind drive the vehicle. So I have to keep asking myself. I have to keep asking myself, okay, why do I feel like I need to keep working, or why do I feel like I need to prove this? So it's something that is very helpful for me for the times where it's very difficult, lah. For example, I would find myself needing to prove to people in some ways of like why I'm feeling a certain way. So it could be a very small thing, like maybe I post a social media, I post my singing cover online, right, on my Instagram story, and I will be explaining after that why I suck at it, or like why I haven't been so good at it, you know, just to justify that part where like, I don't feel good enough. Yeah. Mm. So right now I'm able to put myself back. But yeah, this is something that I realized that I'm still doing, not as aware, you know, mm-hmm. as I would like, but it's good. Yeah.
Nice.
I think the challenges helped me grow also. And I also learned to embrace my openness.
Mm.
I think we have time for two more questions. Sharon, would you like to ask one?
Instead of asking, I just want to bring something to the surface. Like,
sure.
Because our listeners don't have access to Maggie's chart, right? Mm. And so just want to kind of draw a connection with her chart and what she shared. Because only her head and Ashna were defined. There is one channel connecting the head to the Ashna, meaning that she is in her head a lot, like literally, there's this single channel that is like kind of closing that loop, but it's only inside the head. And the rest of her body are undefined or open. She has a totally open ego center and emotional center, which also, especially for the ego center, like if you listen to what she said earlier, like proving herself, that is actually the shadow side of the ego center, like feeling the need to prove, then that pressure to like continue to work or like keep pushing and pushing, that's from the undefined sacral and root. So just drawing that kind of a connection with what she said to her chart to let the listeners kind of understand how people can experience, you know, different parts of the charts this way, kind of segmentize it, but really what makes each of us tick is how we use the chart to our benefit.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a great reminder. Yes.
Oh, can I just answer your question again?
Mm-hmm.
The previous question about the challenges.
Yep.
So when I read up more on Mental Projector, right? Actually, I wasn't feeling okay because I was beating myself up for always being in my head. Yeah. Because I always overthink. I see overthinking as a bad thing. Yeah. And I was very harsh on myself. Yeah. But on the bright side, right, there's always like pros and cons to everything. So on the bright side, I do have a lot of amazing ideas in my head also. Like I generate great ideas and like very weird ideas, but like it's just like the more I overthink, then I also can generate better ideas. So yeah. But that was a really hard thing for me to get over. Like to embrace that thinking part of me. Yeah.
Mm, that's nice. That's nice. And what I always share, right, when I do my coaching sessions or maybe even if I do trainings, is that the way I create the space for either my client or my trainees is that there's no right or wrong, good or bad. And the main question that I always explore with them is, does this work for you or it doesn't? Mm. So I think by getting out of, because there's a lot of judgment when we think about good or bad, or mm-hmm. you know, right or wrong. And when we think about, okay, is this working for me or it's not? Then it brings us to choice.
Mm.
Then we can choose. Then we can choose, right? So like you're overthinking at this because it can be context-based.
Yeah.
So in specific situation, you are required to really think a lot, but there are some situations you don't need to actually do that. So the main question is, okay, is this working right now or not? Yeah. So I think it's a great reminder for even our listeners to ask that kind of question instead of asking, you know, oh my God, is this right or wrong? A lot of time, like even myself, right? So, and it leads to judgment, and that's, you know, the thing that brings our energy down and makes us feel bad, right?
Yeah.
Cool. My final question, unless Sharon would have another one later.
Yeah.
which means it's not the final question. So after the struggles, maybe your biggest aha moment in your human design journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Oh, every moment is a big aha moment for me. Really? I really feel so. I really, really feel so.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Because
maybe you can mention one or two.
I guess also because I've been so conditioned, right? So when I learn to decondition, like some of the big moments, I was like, oh, really? I think the the major one is, it's okay for me not to work 9 to 5.
Okay.
And I can still come up with something, you know,
yeah.
that is like the most liberating moment for me.
Mind blown.
yeah. And just by following my strategy and authority, that itself can really lead me into somewhere more aligned.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not like a moment, but it's more of like, aha.
Aha.
Yeah. It's a very okay, I get it now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Thank you for sharing it. Sharon?
Yeah. So because I know Maggie personally, right? So I have witnessed like kind of her journey through her using human design. And I mean, like she talked about using the strategy and the authority, the mental projector's authority is actually to soundboard. And I noticed that
okay, you continue first.
Mm. So soundboard as in like to hear herself talk as she talked through her blocks, right, with people. At the same time, she also needed to discharge her energy. Actually, those that are kind of because of her openness, right, in other centers that she took on, that she needed to discharge, which is why for people with a lot of centers, right, it's actually quite comforting to go to nature because it's very grounding. It helps us to discharge. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm noticing like for Maggie, when she does that, when she takes care of herself that way, that she actually is more, she feels lighter to me.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. I wonder what you feel about what I just said. This is my observation.
For the soundboarding part, right?
Mm.
I'm not entirely sure. Okay, don't take my word for it because it may be very different from other mental projectors, but this is just solely based on my experience. What I realized is about hearing myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about really hearing myself, but it's about who I'm talking to. So if you think about the outer authority, it's about the environment, right? Mm-hmm. The environment could be a person, it could be a place, it could be just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I could be talking to someone that I don't feel safe with, but I won't get any clarity from it. So soundboarding will help me to get clarity, but only if I'm talking to the right person, like that I feel safe with, the right environment in this case.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think soundboarding is just a very small part of it. But I have tried going to my safe places to my secret places that I flush out all my energy and, you know, try to cleanse my energy there. I've tried going there alone without talking to anybody, but I do get clarity from there also. Yeah.
Mm.
But then it's funny because I'm talking to myself also. Like normally when I'm outside, I will journal. So I realize now that I'm talking about it, that I'm soundboarding it. I realize that.
I was going to say that.
but wait. But then you must know that there are two other defined throats here.
Yeah. So maybe I'm tapping on it.
Yeah. It could be possible. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Then last thing, because I always want to like leave something actionable for our listeners. So the waiting for invitation part, I find a lot of, say, generators, MGs, and all the people who needed to wait struggle with the waiting. And for projectors, it's about invitation, right?
Mm.
And increasingly I have heard you mention like, I feel invited, I don't feel invited. So could you kind of like describe what does that feel like in your body, if you could describe it?
So that
people can have kind of like a rough idea of what being invited feels like, because sometimes it's not about the words, right? I can say, hey Maggie, come to my place, but maybe I don't really want you to come to my place.
Wow, that's a good question. I think it's also about like my outer authority. I would go somewhere else. So that's why sometimes I cannot give answers right away if this is a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm invited to maybe work on a project, right, a big project, mm-hmm. then I will need some time to flush out all my energy to think that, oh, is this right for me? Do I truly feel recognized by this person? Do I feel safe in this environment? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get the feeling of like, whether I feel invited or not. If just based on a conversation, right? I can't exactly tell you because mostly, right? Mm-hmm. It's really about the environment. For example, when you always invite me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like for people that I'm closer to,
mm-hmm.
the way that they speak, right? Maybe this is just me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be invited, like, would you like to help me? Or, like, will you be interested in this? All right.
The you is important.
Yeah, I think for me, that is important. Yeah,
Okay.
Or, actually, I do feel invited. Because invitation comes in many ways, like many forms of different things. Can be work, career, and conversation. Yeah. So I feel very invited when my sister came to me for advice. Just that itself, I don't know. I just feel very invited to share. I guess it's the invited to share part in the conversation.
So that invitation, would you describe it as like kind of like you feel pulled towards?
Oh,
versus like being pushed away.
Oh, okay. Now that I have to describe it, right? Maybe the invitation feels like it's pulling me towards there.
Mm-hmm.
But if there isn't any invitation, like if I don't feel any invitation, maybe I have to pull it instead myself.
Okay.
And that's a lot more work, effort. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a nice analogy. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. I can talk about one of the few invitations that I thought it was an invitation, but it's not an invitation.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So I recently, a few months ago, I got this project that I really, really, really didn't think that I was going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in to close the whole deal, I keep thinking to myself, oh, I feel very invited. But one thing that I didn't do is to flush out all my other energy, right?
Mm.
So I sit on this for weeks and I realize, oh, I am starting to feel like I'm the one pulling the rope instead of getting pulled away.
Mm.
Why? So I made the decision to accept the invitation without asking myself, without doing all the necessary steps, like for myself to get my clarity and my authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that this is not the invitation for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the project feels difficult. Yeah.
No, eventually I dropped the project. We just didn't go through. Because I realized at that point of time, it's a lot of mind talking to me and a lot of like shadows, like telling me, oh, you know, if I get this, I'm going to prove to maybe my parents that I can do this, you know.
Mm.
And if I get this, I'm going to have that amount of money to keep me safe. Mm. So that's my spleen, my survival, like shadows telling me, you know. So I didn't flush that out. So after flushing it out, right, I just like, maybe I don't really need this money after all. Maybe I don't really need this project after all.
Mm.
Yeah. So it feels better. I feel so much lighter letting it go. And then once I let it go, I have a few other projects coming to me. So I just like, oh, okay, I see.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Nice. So was that your last question, Sharon? Or
yes. All good.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for sharing. And we got a new analogy that, you know, will definitely be helpful for projectors out there. So do you have any final words, Maggie, before we end the episode? Or specifically for projectors and maybe for those who are just starting in their journey of human design?
I think like take everything with a pinch of salt. If you resonate, resonate. If you don't resonate, just kindly let it go. I used to be very pigeonholed in like maybe just one sentence that I get from Ra, that from the projector. But once you let it go, right, that's where you truly find out like about what you are. I guess go with the flow, lor.
Mm.
But you know what's interesting? I do feel like maybe a few years from now, if we were to have this conversation again, maybe my answers will all be very different. Who knows, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Like what we shared in the past episode, that according to Ra, it takes about 7 years to fully understand human design. But yeah, for sure. Thank you very much. Thank you for being our first guest in this season.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.